Okay. Well, good afternoon. My name is Assam Othman. I'm a software engineer at the Intel Open Source Technology Center based up in Oregon. Today I'm going to talk to you about our experiences developing a Wieland-based Tizen IVI HMI. This effort was actually predated what Hoshino-san talked about earlier, their own Toyota's own contribution to the Tizen IVI platform. This particular effort is actually on hold now because we actually have a real IVI HMI inside Tizen.org. But still, there's some relevant things to talk about, and hoping to share some interesting facts with you based on our own experiences with this effort. Give a little context. Tizen IVI, I guess for a while, was using the Tizen mobile interface. We could also potentially have used other interfaces that you find like on desktop interfaces, but they're not necessarily well suited for an IVI platform. They don't take things into account like driver safety. They don't react to vehicle state, you know, whether or not you're moving or whether or not stay or night out or anything like that. Other than going with a mobile or a desktop interface, the only other thing we could really do, since was develop our own IVI HMI. Everyone know what an HMI is? And I think that was must have been covered by now from the previous talks, I assume, right? But it's a human-machine interface. It's the lingo we use for user interfaces in the IVI world. Some of the problems I briefly alluded to earlier. So with mobile and desktop user interfaces, we have things like screen geometries that are suboptimal for IVI platforms. You may have home screens like on mobile that are really only suited for a small screen. Desktop, could be far too large. Home screen decorations are not suitable for IVI. Application placement also may not work well for IVI as well. They don't react to vehicle state. I mentioned that earlier. And there are a lot of other features that you might find in those interfaces that may not be suitable for IVI. Things like, you won't necessarily have a lock screen, for example, on an IVI platform. And the other things to consider is, the underlying graphic subsystem may not be that well suited for embedded platforms like you typically find on IVI. So things like X11, for example, may not be a great fit for IVI. So those are some of the things that we want to consider. There's actually also some issues that you kind of have to worry about when developing an IVI specific HMI solution and things like dealing with kernel and graphics hardware. So if you don't have expertise in that, that could be an issue. So you could use X an X-based subsystem for that, but then there's some other things in there that you have to get pulled in that you don't need. So X, for example, is a large large piece of software that. It's just been added. Things have just been kept on being added to it over the years, on and on. Most of those things you just won't need for IVI. So X is not an option. So either you find a different solution, or you handle all the interaction with the hardware and kernel yourself. The other problem too is you're writing something from scratch. You need more resources, and then there's cost to also consider. So this is Tizen we're talking about. So we're looking for an open source solution. We're going to be all buzzword compliant here and go with HTML5 as a portion of the solution to the problems we just talked about. And then there's also Wieland, which is at least compared to X or some other graphic subsystems, it's relatively new, but it is maturing rather rapidly. It's been around for a few years now. I don't remember how many. Artie, do you remember? Few years at least. I don't know. Some great things about Wieland. It's small, efficient, lightweight. Has a very simple architecture, very streamlined, course, it's open source, MIT-based liberal licensing there. In relation to HTML5, it gives us all the the benefits that everyone knows about, rapid prototyping, plenty of features to work with, and ease of use, things like that. So going with a Wayland and HTML5-based solution, we avoid a lot of the legacy issues that we had that we just briefly touched on with mobile and desktop-based solutions. So briefly talk about some of the HMI components that you'll find in IVI platforms. So we have this concept of an HMI service. It could be standalone, it could be integrated with something else, but it provides the home screen, it handles layout of application, graphical surfaces, and it does various other things, things that, for example, that Hoshina-san touched on earlier, things like application lifecycle management, sound management, and input management. We're not really going to deal with those topics in this presentation. There isn't really enough time, and those are huge topics on their own. So we're just going to stick with the graphical side in this presentation. And then there's the compositor. It handles all the interactions with the graphics hardware. So since we're going with Wayland-based approach. Wayland-based compositor, we don't have to deal with the hardware interactions and issues dealing with the kernel and things like that. So we removed the. We no longer need to have expertise in that area of HMI development. Now we can just kind of deal strictly with C function calls and some other concepts. But we're at a higher level now, so that's it's good. We're good on that front there. So besides handling all the interactions with the graphics hardware, it's also responsible for combining and rendering multiple graphical surfaces that are provided by client applications into a single image displayed on the screen. So logically, there are multiple things on the screen, but from a hardware point of view, it's just one screen. I mean, there's only one image out there, right? So the compositor handles all that. Combining all those surfaces into a single thing on the screen. Again, our compositor of choice is Wayland. It provides a core protocol with a number of features that are useful for graphical applications. Things ranging from surface creation, event dispatching, input handling, things like that. And in cases where it doesn't provide what we need for our IVI HMI, things like exactly where to place surfaces, visibility, opacity, things like that, Wayland itself provides, Wayland and Weston both provide a means to extend functionality inside our compositor so that you can fill in the gaps that feature gaps that inside Weston. So Weston itself is the reference Wayland compositor. I just mentioned that it's highly extensible. It has a plug-in framework that's relatively easy to use. It's just your standard. You just implement a single function and from there a single entry point your plugin will implement, and once you configure Weston to use your plugin, Weston will go ahead and invoke that function, and it initialize your plugin, and from there, all the functionality that you're implementing inside your plugin becomes available to IVI HMI clients. And of course, there's the runtime. On the website, we have things like WebKit and various web API implementations, toolkits like jQuery, what have you. And on the native application side, we have our C library, middleware, things like Bluesy, various toolkits like EFL, what have you. Application runtime, we kind of don't necessarily deal with. At least on the native side, don't really deal with so much in this particular talk. And on the client side, the client application itself, I'm going with only a single application for this particular example, but there, of course, there could be multiple, many client applications as well. From an HMI point of view, the HMI itself doesn't really care what's going on inside the, all of the non-graphical related logic that's going on inside the client. So it only cares about what surfaces are presented to it by the client application. The client application in some way has to provide a buffer that contains its content. Does that using a toolkit, at least on the native side, does that using a toolkit. Things like Cairo, which is a 2D graphics toolkit, OpenGL for 3D, toolkits like EFL, Qt, ad nauseum, ad infinitum there. There's quite a few toolkits. So, and you can also go directly, draw into buffers directly. The clients can do that as well, but they don't really necessarily want to do that. So, and on the web application side, it's a little easier there, I guess. You have your HTML5 application, web application, and then the web runtime WebKit, for example, will handle all the rendering issues, sending off the necessary, populating the necessary surface and sending it off to your compositor, in this case, Weston, through the Wayland protocol for you. So a little easier on the website there. And then, just obviously we have examples like, media player, browser, what have you. Let's talk about how these components interact. Starting out on the client side, we have a web or native client application, creating a surface, populating it with content. On the native side, you generally you'd use a native toolkit like EFL to handle all the interaction with your compositor, but you could conceivably go directly, communicate directly with your compositor through libWayland. libWayland provides the implementation of the core Wayland protocol that I touched on earlier with surface creation and things like that. Or on the website, WebKit or EFL WebKit, what have you, will handle all the communication with the compositor for you. So, once we're ready to send the surface over there to the compositor for rendering, Wayland protocol implementation will send the necessary operations over the Wayland IPC mechanism, which is built on top of Unix domain sockets, the server side of Weston and server side of the core protocol will do multiplex and dispatch the operations from that Unix domain socket and determine how to handle those operations. So, in the case of an HMI, the client, you don't want the client application deciding where it wants to place itself. So we have this standalone HMI service. So the IVI plugin will intercept. In Weston terminology, it's a configuration of the surface, and inform the HMI service that the HMI service that there's a service that needs to be placed. The HMI service decides where it'll be placed. It can either presumably either do that automatically, or it can provide a means for the user to to interactively decide where the application is going to be placed. So you could conceivably have a split screen, for example, and two logical screens on your HMI, and the user could decide, I want it to go on this lower split screen and not the upper one, and what have you. So the HMI service itself is just another client, a Wayland-based client, and it communicates with Weston through the same Wayland IPC mechanism that your client-side application uses under the hood as well. So on the server side, there are a couple of architectures we can use. The figure I showed earlier was this standalone HMI service. So we have this standalone HMI service, separate process from Weston. But you could also conceivably have the HMI service integrated within the plugin itself, so you kind of draw, you remove a level of indirection there, and everything just happens directly inside the plugin. And from a client point of view, whatever the server side architecture is completely transparent. Clients don't need to do, since they don't get to decide where things go. They don't really need to know where things are placed. It's just an implementation detail point of view from the client. Briefly touch on a standalone HMI service. This particular model, I guess, is similar to what you find in the Geneva layer management approach. They define a layer management service, and then under the hood you have your different rendering mechanisms, what have you. But in this case, we have a separate process from the compositor. It communicates with the compositor just like with Weston, just like a typical client would over WLAN IPC, and there are various pros and cons to this approach, which we'll get into a bit later. And then we have the integrated approach. So again, we're looking at the server side here. The HMI service is just embedded directly inside a Weston plugin. The nice thing about Weston's extensibility is that you don't actually have to change or modify the core Weston implementation. This plugin framework that it has is flexible enough that you can add quite a lot of functionality to the compositor without actually breaking or hacking up or forking Weston, for example. This integrated HMI would perform the same functions that the standalone service would as well. Some of the pros and cons. At least on the pro side, standalone, it's reusable, it's flexible. You could conceivably, provide HMI framework, and hand that, make that available to OEMs or, Rusty earlier mentioned your hackers that just like to innovate and work on IVI systems themselves. With a standalone approach, you're not tied to a specific home screen. You're not tied to a specific way of interacting with the HMI and the user. It just provides a nice, flexible way and reasonable way of dealing with implementing an HMI. This would be similar to the Geneva approach, where they don't really dictate what an HMI should be. They only provide a set of operations that are useful for implementing an HMI. Conceivably, you'd have better fatal error recovery with a standalone process, because if your process dies, your compositor is still running on the side, and it could be still handling. Compositing an application that's already running and sending surfaces off to off to Weston. So ideally, you'd be able to restart your HMI behind the scenes while the client application itself is running. From the integrated HMI service point of view, it's certainly a simpler architecture. Everything's just in one place. It's more efficient since you drop. There's no longer another hop between the compositor, Weston, and the HMI service. Everything just happens inside the HMI service, inside the Weston process itself. So you drop a round trip over Unix domain socket there entirely. And it also kind of facilitates some rapid prototyping, because you just do what you want and not really have to attempt to conform to a specific API that is provided by the standalone service. On the con side, standalone, if you don't need the flexibility, you shouldn't have to pay for it. So that's one reason not to use standalone. Again, it's a little less efficient because there's another hop we just mentioned there. And then there's the fatal error recovery. If your HMI, whatever you're doing in your HMI, crashes and burns horribly, then you kill your compositor, and then it may be difficult to recover from there. And also, since your HMI is integrated in the same process and memory address space as your compositor, you're maybe easier to compromise the state of the compositor itself. Some of the server-side problems that we kind of dealt with when we were working this effort. Bear in mind that we're supporting both web and native applications inside this HMI. So if you have an HTML5 based HMI, how do you place surfaces? Native-based surfaces inside the HMI. So, your compositor gets a request from your native application, and then what do you do with it? How do you send it off to your HTML5-based HMI? There's IVI HMI paradigms. There's this concept of layers inside you typically associate with IVI HMIs, and layers are just a collection of surfaces. Some examples of layers include home screen decorations, input layers, the split screen concept I talked about earlier. How would you do that inside HTML5? You could emulate that using multiple HTML5 canvases. But again, that's not really suitable if your application, both web or a native in this case as well, aren't using canvases. And you can't use canvases at all inside a native application, right? Our approach, at least one way to address those problems is to inside the plugin. The plugin will expose the additional functionality that you need to support layers inside the HMI. On the HTML5 side, you implement a plugin for your web runtime that exposes, for example, a JavaScript API that provides the necessary surface handling functionality as well as layer management functionality as well. Alternatively, you could conceivably use WebSockets as a very simple and naive approach to facilitate the necessary communication between Weston and the HMI itself, but it's not a long-term solution that we want to go with. And similarly, you could use something like Node.js as well to do the same sort of thing. Some other problems that we ran into you often find when dealing with implementing things with Wayland and Weston. A lot of times, folks assume that there's this WL shell. Interface inside the core Wayland protocol, which is really only designed for a desktop shell model or use case. It's not entirely, you could conceivably use it for IVI, but there are some things that are just not applicable. You have things like workspaces, lock screens, screensavers, things like that. So you don't want to be locked into this WL shell, especially since it may not be available on all IVI installations because it's a plugin to Weston, and you don't necessarily have to install it to use Weston. In any case, this is still kind of an ongoing problem. Christian Herzberg, the creator and maintainer of Wayland, actually has a proposal under review to deal with this very issue, driven by the IVI use case. Kind of short on time here. Just going over some, and if you're interested in looking at some of the what we have, there's some references there. The Tizen IVI images are available on download.tizen.org. Tizen 3.0, Rusty alluded to earlier, is still a work in progress, but should be coming up fairly soon, I guess. And then we have links for Wayland and Weston and Genevieve. So that's it. Any questions? I think I put you guys to sleep.
So, can you easily use EFL, for example, for the HMI? while still allowing HTML5 apps?
So I kind of touched on that earlier. In order to do that, your HTML5 based HDMI needs to handle both. It basically needs to be aware of when an EFL based, in this case native application EFL based surfaces is available. And in order to do that, Weston has to be able to communicate to the HMI. I kind of touched earlier on various ways of doing that. So basically, your web runtime plugin would have to be able to support communication between Weston and your HMI, or you can use various other things. But the approach we were thinking about was going with a plugin for the web runtime API and then exposing a JavaScript, web API to handle and facilitate communication and between Weston and the HMI, and also handle all the operations that are needed to support native applications, which is really mostly amounts to placement and destruction of services and things like that. So the HMI itself is not doing anything with rendering; it's just managing surfaces. So I think it's feasible. We haven't gotten there yet, but it's certainly feasible. Any other questions? Second to last presentation on the last day of the conference, huh?
One more question.
Oh.
What WebKit implementation do we use for this?
The question is, what WebKit implementation do we use for this? We're currently using the version of WebKit that's shipped with TasNow VI, which is EFL WebKit. I don't remember the exact number. I don't remember the exact version, but so Tizen is currently based on EFL WebKit, so that's what we're using, just for ease of use and reduction of forking, things like that. So. How can you extend HTML5 for multi-display? When you say multi-display, do you mean on the same host, or? So would this display be on a separate ECU? Are we talking about kind of a remote display type scenario on the same in the vehicle, or?
Mm-hmm. So the map could be displayed in the head unit display,
yeah,
but also in the head of display. So it means we have support for both head of display.
You're getting to advanced usage cases. So Whalen, there's a couple issues here. So Whalen itself can handle multiple displays. Weston, not Whalen. So you could conceivably tie into, with your plugins to support the necessary function. Basically, your web runtime plugins or web API plugin implementations that facilitate communication with Weston, you could conceivably expose something in that that web API to support, link into Weston's support for multiple displays. So that currently only works if both displays are on the same ECU or same host. Weston currently doesn't support this remote display. A display that's connected to a separate ECU or host. There is a proof of concept implementation. I think it works fairly well, but I don't think the Christian Herzberg, the maintainer, currently thinks it's product ready. But regardless, I think it's really all about just exposing, just tapping into the functionality that's already available in Weston, and the way to do that is just add functionality, web API functionality to your web runtime. So it's kind of vague there, I know. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I want to thinking about the communication with the Tizen devices, not only standalone in the car, just the communication, the Tizen mobile or some other devices.
So you mean do things like
as information transferring or some as a communication devices.
Communicate between like a mobile Tizen mobile device and the Tizen IVI.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So that's a little out of. I mean, so there's certainly talk of that. It's not really covered. You know, this is a little bit out of scope from what we're doing here. But there is certainly a lot of interest in that. I don't have a timeline for when that will happen. But there's certainly a lot of interest for that. So. Anything else? Are we good? I don't want to get into Yaska's time there. So that's. You're up next. I do? The break. okay, well, if that's it, thank you for your time and attention, and have a good rest of the conference.